Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
This is Jochen Graf.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I got a problem that is complicated. Going through changes that I just can't ignore the signs. Hear them now, it's so loud it hurts. Hear me growl, hear me howl in the cold.
Off the road, won't get a bounce, got its three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. You are listening to the Unused Substitute Show. We are your green and gold gospel and your only source for year-round Rowdies coverage. We are live on Radio St. Pete Online and part of the Beautiful Game Network, presented by Roughneck Scarves. My name is Stephen Cundiff, and joining me on the other end of the internet tonight is my old podcast mate. I'm so happy you're here, and it's only you today, Matt Cox. It feels like 2020 again.
Yeah, I'm like I'm back.
Yeah.
Good evening, Stephen. It is a pleasure to virtually see you on the computer screen in front of me. May I say that if there was a Super League of Stevens, you would definitely be involved.
I'm torn about how to feel about this.
And I don't mean involved in some of the ways that where the Super League was billed in some places as some of the biggest clubs in England and Tottenham. You definitely would not be Ann Stephen. You would be one of the biggest Stevens in the league.
I don't think I would.
Of the Stevens that I have met, it's going to be you. It's going to be Stephen King. There was probably a guy at a fast food place named Stephen, I'm sure. Other than that, I don't know a ton of Stevens.
Now that being said, and you know what? Let's roll with this, and I'm going to say that yes, I would be a part of this, and Stephen Hawking is out. That's right. Right, that's how absurd the Super League was to begin with, and that's
hold
how
on, hold on. I'm getting word now that the other Stevens have withdrawn from the Super League, and the Super Steven League is no more. It was fun while it lasted. Steven will always have the memories.
I apologize to everyone. I didn't think about the consequences
right
of what this would look like. I didn't mean to put any ill will on other Stevens in the world. What a 48 hours or 72 hours that was. That is,
I have spent more time figuring out how we were going to wedge this into the show tonight than they spent existing. And I feel like we did that pretty good right there. I'm proud of that.
I mean, they did it better. They had a better start and finish than I would say the NASL did when they first voted to split from the USL in 2009. I think they had a crazier, better outcome than I think that turned out to be.
By the way, did you see my tweet yesterday saying that maybe instead of attacking this, we should maybe embrace the concept and create a US-based league along the same lines, maybe incorporating some of the biggest clubs in Canada, the United States, and Mexico? You could even call it the North American Super League or NASL. And I mean, that's a strong name. That's a powerful name. With a name like that, I can only see good things happening in this future, in the future of this league, proposed American Super League.
I saw several jokes about that, and I was very proud of all of you that made those jokes.
What could go wrong?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, hold on. I've just gotten word the North American Super League has refused to form. It hasn't even gotten to the point where it could fall apart. It's not going to exist. And apparently there's lawsuits involved.
Well, that's not going to stop North American soccer from trending in that direction, because that's what they're hell-bent on doing over here on this side of the pond. Let's face it, if you've been paying attention to the news over the last, I don't know, call it 3 years, really, it's what they've been discussing behind doors, is to make a nice combined entity. Good times. I love soccer in North America. It's great.
I saw someone referencing the whole Super League debacle as, you know, a bunch of backroom discussions that didn't turn out the way they wondered. And I kind of thought, is this an example of when playing it out of the back room goes wrong?
I'm so proud of you. That is, oh.
That's been marinating since like yesterday. I was like,
I'm throwing that on Twitter right now, because that's just freaking brilliant. Oh. Speaking of Twitter, of course, if you want to tweet us during the show, we are always welcome to interact with you guys at @unusedsubspod, @_s_Cundiff. And of course, Matt's, you are @unsub_Matt. Feel free to send us a tweet, interact, we'll respond, we'll mention on the show, but we are very welcome for those.
Thinking about changing it up, though, maybe I'm going to go with at Super League Matt. This isn't going to die. The jokes are going to go on. Already have gone on.
Should I rename myself Super Steve? Is that what you're getting at? Because I'm not doing that.
I really, really enjoyed someone pointing out that Jose Mourinho was the only manager in the history of the Super League to get sacked.
That's just everything about it was perfect.
The problem was it was a fantastic, possibly once in a lifetime opportunity for every other soccer club / league / player in the world to dump out all their negative news and get it completely overlooked by the news cycle. And now that chance is gone. Like if you haven't like posted your new kits or the fact that you're doing a ground share in a artificial turf baseball stadium for this upcoming season, like you've missed your window now. Sucks to suck.
Well, speaking of sucks to suck, Naples. Hi, everybody. We had a game this past weekend, and, you know, the Tampa Bay Rowdies played a semi-pro Naples United, and let's just say we played them, and we played them with authority, which is exactly what we needed to do against them. I believe it was something that we were talking about last week on this show.
I think we even said we need to go out there and put 5-0 on.
I think we did mention that. I'm pretty sure if we go back and read the tapes. Look at the tapes. Roll the tapes.
Confirmed then that the entire club listens to the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are far and away the most listened to and best source of anything happening Tampa Bay Rowdies. Obviously, this just confirms it.
Massive, massive podcast. I do have some inside information that there may be another source of some Rowdies content from a different perspective that may be available on the internets on probably Friday.
Oh, well, that's cool. I that's nifty.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm honestly the best part about doing a show like this where you and I, you know,
just make as we go.
We do some planning. There are show notes. We are paying attention to the world of soccer and the Rowdies and trying to make sure. Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. No idea.
I'll tell you later. I do not want to be the one introducing other people's shows. But
well, that's good.
It'll be good content. I'm looking forward to it on either my trip to the gym or the drive home to spend, depending on what I feel like doing Friday afternoon.
Well, the good news is the Tampa Bay Rowdies, like I said, they played Naples this weekend 5-0. Goals were scored by 5 different players. First of all, yes. Secondly, 4 of those 5 goals were scored by newcomers to the club, which again. Yes, we need that. We love it. That is amazing, especially after what was a, I'm just going to say, a stupid performance against Montreal, because those goals, I mean, we got, you know, kind of got our face kicked in, but a lot of those goals were stupid. Like, they just, that was like not even a fun game. Probably meaningless for both coaches and every player on the field, because the way those goals were going in. But to be able to, when you're in preseason like this, you take little moments like this, even if you know you're playing against a lower club, a lower level of opposition, you've got to be able to go in and build resiliency within your group. I mean, granted, most of us are from, you know, the prior season, but, you know, you want to be able to show early and prove to yourselves that you can bounce back from a heavy loss and make it into a heavy victory. It doesn't really matter who the opponent is. It doesn't matter, you know, that it's just preseason. These are the moments you have to be able to prove to yourself that you can do it. Because if you don't do it now, then when do you do it? Week 6, week 10, week 12, week 25? You know, like, if you don't start proving it early to yourselves, you know, and you start kicking that can down the curb because you keep failing at it, you know, suddenly it's, you know, what are we talking about, like late August, and you're on the outside in looking at a playoff spot going, man, I really wish we took those preseason games a bit more seriously when we had a bad result. So, you know, I mean, you got to, it's preseason, it's Naples, but you've got to be happy about this. I mean, surely, Matt, you have to be excited about beating Naples 5-0.
So I honestly wasn't aware until this game was announced that Naples even existed. Like, I know the city exists as an entity. I've been through there before. I had no idea they had a semi-pro team. I think everybody's got a semi-pro team nowadays. There's some people in my backyard running around. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're a semi-pro team.
Yes.
So one thing you said, I will go back and modify my gut reaction based on that. Yeah, sure. Coming off a loss, especially a kind of a big loss against Montreal, you know, could be a little dispiriting. Could cause some moments of darkness. Some of the players may be in the long dark tea time of the soul. However, coming back and getting a win again in the next game, sure, that's good. But honestly, I'm as excited about the 5-0 win over Naples as I was upset by the 5-1 loss to Montreal. Like, again, it's preseason. Well, I don't want to say it this way, because I was about to say it's basically glorified training, but that's coming from someone who has never played a professional sport in his life and is not there to witness it. And Lord knows someone will tell Neil I said that, and I'll get a mention dropped in the first postseason interview. So it definitely is not. I mean, there's, you know, it's part of it is you're getting your guys in shape using not necessarily a higher competition, but maybe a stronger, a higher level of play than you would put on in your daily practice. Letting guys get into shape. Good Lord. I if nothing else, I will take five goals, including four from newcomers, because the final score line aside, when's the last time we've had like multiple goal scorers in a game that, you know, aren't the usual suspects? It hasn't been Seba Guinzotti, or it hasn't been Georgi Ristov. It's, you know, the goals have, even when they've come regularly, they've come kind of from one or two people. So if we can get this to be a point where there's more than one or more than two or more than three options in the attack, it's what we've been dying to see for a while now.
I don't think it's controversial to say that the Tampa Bay Rowdies have never been known as a team to score bucket loads of goals from multiple sources. I mean, that's just,
we're not a Western Conference team.
I mean, we're also not playing against Western Conference defenses, but, you know, it's just, I think it's just the fact of the matter that, you know, we're not playing against, you know, or let me rephrase that again. Scoring five goals to begin with in this club's history has been hard to come by, even historically in preseason. You know, it's not something that this team has done very often, really at all. Now, granted, I mean, five goals is a heck of a threshold to make that kind of a judgment. There's probably not a lot of teams around the world at high levels that score that many goals frequently. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, it also, again, it kind of, in some ways, it proves to the guys that they're capable of it. Now, you know, one of the things that talked about was like, well, this may not have been a starting lineup per se. Well, that's yes and kind of no. There actually were some pieces in there that are potential starters for the season coming up. It wasn't exclusively a B lineup. So let me just run through it real quickly in case you didn't see the tweet, because obviously it was a closed door game as always. So the starting lineup for this past week, Ryko Rosarena was the goalkeeper. Connor Antley was the right, I believe, well, I'm not sure. He's an outside defender. Jordan Doherty played center back, which is not the first time we've seen him being played there this year. And then Max Lekaweki was the other outside defender, which we've seen him before in that role in a pinch if necessary. Now, in the midfield, Sebastian Dalgaard out on right side, that has been a frequent thing. Actually, I think in this game, I think he played left. But, you know, that is a frequent player, obviously, as far as starters go. You've got Lewis Hilton playing in the middle. Obviously, that's a, you know, been a starter pretty frequently last season. Cerbelli played as midfield in this game. And I think Matthew Cerbelli is a absolute contender for a starting role in week one. I've been very impressed with his pace. I've been very impressed with his aggressiveness. I think it's something that he may have an edge on somebody like a Steinberger for that attacking midfield role, as far as if you're constructing the depth chart at the moment. So I think that that's not necessarily a shoe-in for a bench player. I think that's a very contending starter. Also, you've got Lawrence Wyke. Again, another player that has surprised a lot of people coming in as a trialist out of Atlanta, who's, by all means, his energy, his effort, the awareness on the field has been pretty good for all things considered. You know, so I don't think it's necessarily a shoe-in that he's not a starter either, considering. And then up top, you've got Sebastian Gonzatti, who, of course, we're all pretty much expecting to see start. And then you've got Steven Dos Santos, who I don't specifically think he will be a starter to start the year. I honestly don't necessarily think so. But that is...
Are you taking a shot at Nick Murray there?
That comes down entirely to how things are playing out in things like practice. Because, obviously, we all as fans, we appreciate the hometown hero of sorts in Juan Tejada. So there will always be a contingent of people that want him on the field. Totally respect that. Not necessarily the best tactical choice for every single game, but I respect fans that have that hometown, you know, type of tie-in. But obviously with Steven Dos Santos, the player that is obviously going to be competing with that top spot is Jordan Adebayo. Because he's had the pace, he's got the excitement that we really haven't had as a striker, really. You know, for what we've seen of him, he looks faster than anybody we've seen up top in a Rowdies jersey in a long time. So, you know, that's an interesting thing. I did mention, or I might have skipped this name in particular when I was going over the midfield, but Deion Harris also played in this game as a midfielder. And I'm going to be honest, this is going to be fascinating to me because Fernandez, Dalgaard, and Harris, to me, are your three best outside mids going into the season on the depth chart. I don't really necessarily think they... I think they all present something different tactically. So I don't know if you can really say that you know for a fact two of those guys are better than the other. Because it's going to be so dependent on who you're playing against, what teams, what tactical formations, what personnel. I mean, we can look at this and say, oh, there's several, you know, players that aren't going to be starters. Like, I don't think it's controversial to think that Connor Antley is not going to be a starter. I haven't necessarily been impressed with what I've seen so far, even though he's got some pedigree at the lower divisions. But, you know, when I look at what I've seen Scarlett do, now granted, again, let's take away the Montreal game because that game wasn't very good. But if you look at the game against Inter Miami, if you followed what was going on with Nashville and with New York, you know, he was in those games and he was playing well, especially against Miami. He did great against Miami. So, you know, I don't necessarily think that Antley is a player that's going to be a starter. I think at the beginning of the year, he's a depth option. So, I you know, the back end, yes, we got a shutout with mostly second-tier players, but we scored 5 goals with a starting lineup that had a lot of potential starters in it. So I think it's a good result. I think it's absolutely a good result, all things being considered.
Yeah, definitely not a you know, a full B lineup like that. When I saw that lineup that graphic posted the night of the list of the names, my first thought was, this is a lineup like where you're like when you. If you see this lineup from your club, you know that they're really going out to try and make a run at the Open Cup in the early rounds. Giving some key personnel a rest, but also getting some newcomers and some new faces some time, some minutes. And from the looks of things, kind of went well. Again, you have to take the level of competition into consideration. But, you know, we do, I think, have Loudoun United in our group, so this can't be too far off.
Nope, it's not. It is definitely not. I think the other thing that I like about this, too, was
just
fact...
like operating a flamethrower here tonight. Like, I'm just throwing lots of stuff out here. No, there's nothing personal meant by any of this, anyone, and go ahead and apologize in advance for anything else I'm about to say tonight.
For everybody listening, I want to confirm that we fully believe in everything we've said and everything is in the notes. We keep the best notes. The entire show is scripted. We thought of this weeks ago. Yeah, y'all know I'm lying.
This is all Dan's fault.
It is all Dan's fault, but that's okay because Dan is Dan and people need to make fun of him. I will say this. It was 1-0 at halftime. Obviously, some substitutions happen. We end up pouring it on in the second half. I think that's another thing that I like is that, you know, with changes, you know, players are able to slot in and contribute and get results, you know, throughout the match. So, you know, I think I'm excited about this. I want to be honest right now. I'm just super excited about this season getting started. I know we got one more preseason game. We're going to be playing against University of Tampa this weekend, but I'm ready to go. I like what I see so far from the club. I mean, pretty much we've played against who we're going to really play against in preseason. You know, not to offend UT, but I mean, it's obviously there's a difference between a Inter Miami and a University of Tampa. I mean, it just is. So, you know, it's one game left, but I'm ready for the season to start.
I will say this though, and this is, I don't know. So, you know, we've had that annual preseason game and it kind of alternates between USF and UT at their house, which is a cool experience for the college players to face off against, you know, professional teams, especially the local professional team, especially these two college teams play the Corbett Cup, which is is symbolized by the Rowdies 1975 Soccer Bowl trophy on display, which I think USF held it again this year over there at their stadium. Going to University of Tampa is like my favorite preseason away day, though. Like driving up to Tampa and the kind of the part of town where you and, you know, stuff and things around there to go and do and hang out afterwards. Like, I had some pretty good memories going up there. So, number one, I'm kind of bummed that it can't go because it's going to be a closed door one. But yeah, I'm already kind of looking past this and thinking about the because I was just literally thinking today when I was at work, I was like, well, next Wednesday is it's going to be the last in April, and then holy crap, we've got a home game on Saturday. I get to take my spot on Ricky's Hill next to whatever food trucks are going to be there. Looking forward to that, even though I may not be able to actually be able to go and eat any of it. I'm still looking forward to it. I did see the article tonight that had, you know, broke some logical details about the giant contraption under the tarp is. Did you see that?
The article or the picture of the tarp with the contraption underneath it?
The article with the details of it.
I have it on my phone right now because I wanted to talk about this article because.
And it's exactly what I thought it was going to be. But I have a feeling that what you're going to talk about is the other detail mentioned in there, which I had not known about, and I'm kind of curious where that's going to be located. But I think it's actually a pretty cool idea. Because so, screw your kids on my berm, but hey, let's have something for the kids to do.
So what we're talking about is if you go ahead and look it up, and of course we've retweeted it on our channels, of course, stpetecatalyst.com did an article. They did an interview with Lee Cohen. Just a generic run up of the season type of article. Brian Hartz wrote it for that website. And obviously that one of the topics of conversation was the berm. And, you know, we talked pretty extensively, me and Dan, about the berm and about what it meant and about, you know, how to approach the issue of the berm. Because one of the things that we were all something I mentioned specifically was I was very taken aback by the strong reaction on Facebook as to what the berm meant to people in the stadium, what it meant to parents and things like that. The article did mention this in a lot of ways, and in that conversation with Lee, obviously some of the reasons we already knew, but, you know, they were talking about the fact that, you know, there's a liability factor there that they're just, you know, at some point it's a ticking time bomb. Something really bad's going to happen. So, but one of the things that I had mentioned was that was an area that parents of the team, you know, parents of kids that love going to the games and want to support the games, but can't necessarily get a babysitter, or maybe they want to, but the kid just gets distracted halfway through a game. You know, I was saying that we should investigate or look into what we can do to replace the berm. Well, sure enough, there are now basically two things in a way that are kind of replacing the berm. One of them is going to be this new potential like video game mobile gaming trailer, which is, if you saw the photograph, that pretty much confirms what was underneath that tarp. But the other thing that was interesting is we had talked about on the show the idea of having some sort of like section or some sort of like thing that, you know, back when I was a kid, you could go and play like human foosball and stuff like that and have a very soccer specific, you know, getting the energy out of the kids type of thing, activity in stadium that you could do. And if depending on where you set it up, like say if you set it up along Bayshore, you could have the parents be able to watch the game and have the kids being, you know, doing their little thing if they want to. And you're basically recreating exactly what the berm is, but you're doing it in a more controlled environment. Sure enough, the St. Pete Catalyst article today mentions that they are planning to install at least a large inflatable soccer goal and like turf area where kids can burn off energy by kicking soccer balls around with their friends. That sounds almost identical to what we were talking about on the show a few weeks ago. Now, I'm not saying that we're the reason I'm not saying we necessarily spoke it into existence. Obviously, the club could have been planning that ahead of time already. But regardless, like, it's cool to see that. And this was my takeaway from this. To me, it says how much the club listens to everybody that goes into that stadium. Because obviously, as supporters, you know, the slightly more hardcore of the fan base at large, you know, you've obviously got tickets out there. I've obviously, you know, be standing adjacent to that section. We're thrilled that they're going to be supporters in Ricky's Hill now. We think that's awesome. You think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. I think every supporter in the building thinks that's awesome.
We got to make sure Ricky knows that we've named this after him. I got to tweet him. I got to make sure he knows. We got to give him his flowers.
Absolutely. But, you know, the fact is that while our opinion is important, it is not the only opinion in the building. And so when you saw on Facebook this massive outpouring of people that were saying how important the berm was or is to them as a fan of the team with children, this only goes to show that their opinion still matters too, and that the club doesn't just listen to supporters, they also listen to fans. And that's important for when you get arguments. It's important when we get into different arguments, like when the supporters got into arguments with the club or with the other fans about, say, for example, different types of chants that we were singing, and certain fans in the fan base that didn't like that, or maybe they felt somehow personally offended by it, were trying to go to the club and, you know, get us to stop. And the club was defending us, saying, no, we give them permission to do their thing. They keep it in tone. They keep themselves policed. A lot of fans took that as they don't listen to us. And I think this goes to kind of prove that that has never been the case. The club has always valued every voice in that building. Obviously, there are going to be certain situations where some voices are louder or some voices are given more weight, but every voice is listened to. And I think that was my biggest takeaway reading that article and seeing what the club plans to do. I was personally very encouraged by that.
Yeah, I actually like this idea because this, unlike rolling down a hill like it's a grassy miniature Niagara Falls, is actually something that's related to soccer. It has something to do with the game. It has something to do with what the ticket that was bought to get you in the building is for. So, like, I'm totally cool with this. I'm kind of curious where it's going. It's got to be over in that, like, the area used to be, like, the Big Storm, like, party corner or whatever it was. I'm thinking it's got to be somewhere out over around there, right?
Well, the way that the article referenced it is that it's not something that's going to be set up for week one. So at least it kind of made the illusion that it wouldn't be set up for week one. So I don't necessarily know if they even know per se where it's going to go. There might be some still debate. I mean, obviously, until it's set up, there's always going to be a potential debate as to, you know, alternative locations. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. It could be out there in that corner. It could be Bayshore. There's definitely no room behind the stands because obviously they dug out a retention pond area back there. On the game side, on the field side of the outfield wall that's still out there, there is a retention pond back there if you've never been back there yourself. You know, you've got the tent. You've obviously now got the mobile gaming trailer. All of that's back behind the midfield section. So there's not really room behind there. So I think at this point, your only two options, realistically, if you're going to build it within sight of the field, are the Bayshore area or the Big Storm Lounge area from two seasons ago. So, yeah, I don't really see any other scenarios where it could be placed anywhere else. But, I mean, well, I guess, along with everything else, we'll just have to kind of wait and see on that one.
Well, and I guess we have to go back and rule out my option of playing in the street now that that's been made illegal by Florida's legislature. I'm cool with this. I think it's a good idea. I just knowing from my experience of working with children of various age levels, they're going to have to be extra precautious that there's no possible way that a ball gets from the area that these kids are in onto the field, because you might think there's no possible way, but unless you do put some kind of like netting or something, it will find a way to happen. I promise it.
Life finds a way.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, I'm cool. I think this is a good idea. I'm even more that it gives me something to, you know, distract from the kids being whiny about being on the berm, because they can't be on my berm anymore. There's a great shot of the berm in there with the area that's been put in. They kind of describe it as stand up tables so that people can eat food, and like that's not exactly the intent of that area. I do appreciate they say that the grassy hill on the southeast side of Al Lang has been upgraded, because this, to me, definitely an upgrade. Lee Cohen had two great quotes in this article. I don't want to go, we've tweeted, I've seen a couple other people have tweeted too. I don't want to go and like reread the entire thing, but he's got two fantastic quotes. First off says, the biggest thing we'll focus on is that 21 is 20 done. It means nothing. You don't get another trophy in 21 because you were good last season. That's a great mindset to have. It's a mindset a lot of fans, media, whatever, typically don't have, it seems like, in soccer. It's like, well, you were fantastic last year, so you must be fantastic this year, or you're a total failure. No, every year is different. Now, we have high expectations for this year because we've got 15 starters coming back and some interesting new signees. But still, it's a brand new season. It's totally different. Last year is over, unfortunately. Unfortunately, it was over a game early, but that's the way it turned out. The other quote that I enjoyed was Lee talking about the berm itself. The berm, the hill, it's a fun spot for kids. We recognize that, but it's also probably a spot we should have done something with a long time ago. It was actually quite dangerous at times for kids who rolled down it. It was kind of like carnage. It's like if you ever watched Royal Rumble and they had the timer going in WWE, the timer going, and then some random person runs down the ramp from the backstage area to the ring. It was like that, but in kid version, and instead of running, they were rolling down the hill. And unfortunately, you got yelled at if you tried to throw them over the fence and out of the Royal Rumble. It's like, I'm sure parents loved it because kids were extremely tired and worn out by the time they went home. Yeah, this, in my opinion, this is a much better use of the space, and there's other areas around the stadium, obviously, that can be put to use for things like this. I just kind of wonder, if we're doing an inflatable goal, can we possibly get Jacksonville's inflatable octopus to like play goalie or something in this? Can we, or, you know, go full Kraken on some of these kids? What's going on?
We're going to call it Ricky's Hill. I love this. Do I want to use that kind of carnage quote in some capacity in that section? Like, I feel like that section needs to reference carnage in some ways. Like, that just
the carnage corner.
Yeah.
I have a couple ideas for some. This is where I got to the thinking today about how the regular season's, like, you know, just about 10 days away. I actually have some ideas for some, I'm thinking not banners. I don't know if there's enough space there, but like some two poles or something, unless those have been banned by the Florida legislature also. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure this somehow is going to get turned around as a reason why you can't have smoke now or something.
Oh, God. Stop it. Don't speak that filth into existence.
but I have some ideas. I hope there's at least one I want to try and get done for the first game. But now I'm looking like the little, like, the wall back there around the Tiki Hut could be a good place to hang some stuff from too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm thinking we need like a "This is Ricky's Hill," like with a, you know, like Ricky's face or something on it, like that kind of banner. I don't have time to do the painting though.
I agree. I think there needs to be amazing banners out there. I mean, I think there should be amazing banners out throughout the entire stadium, but that's just a personal opinion. No,
maybe I know someone in Nashville that can get this turned around and printed out on a quick. Quick short schedule here.
Well, as we mentioned, the Tampa Bay Rowdies start a week from Saturday. There are a couple of games this weekend officially to kick off the USL season in 2021. Zozi begins with Louisville City hosting Atlanta 2 on Saturday night, and the Oklahoma Derby. I don't even know if they have a name for it. I don't even care. The Oklahoma Derby between OKC Energy. They host FC Tulsa as well on Saturday night. That is your entire opening schedule for the USL for the first week of the season. Pretty much everything else gets started next week from Friday. So,
I believe that's referred to as the "Hey, We Exist" Derby.
The "Hey, We Are There Too. We Play Close to Each Other." That's true. Yeah. That's the "Hey, We Play Close to Each Other Too."
Also, no, Casey, I don't know.
I like that. That is
crapping on
there. You go. That's the name of the jersey. It's the "Hey, We Play Close to Each Other Too" Derby.
Yeah.
Well, the Tampa Bay Rowdies obviously be fighting for a playoff spot, and that playoff announcement did come out as to what officially the structure is going to look like. Pretty standard stuff, nothing too interesting, but we at least got a field of teams. Obviously, as you know, there are four divisions split into two different conferences this year, and pretty standard stuff. It'll be the top four teams from each division, and the number one team in one division of the particular conference will then play the number four seed in the division opposite it. Pretty standard fare. Nothing that we wouldn't necessarily expect, all things considered. So we do know that we need to finish top four. That is just a fact. Obviously, you will need to finish top two to guarantee yourself some home games. Again, pretty standard stuff, but it's good to actually feel, I will say this, it feels good to have a regular, semi-regular season schedule and a semi-regular playoffs and none of the four-team group things. It feels good to kind of have a sense of normalcy coming back. The championship game is officially going to be November 28th. Now, that is a Sunday, just like it was supposed to be this year or this past year. Kickoff is scheduled to be 8:30, but TV networks are a little up in the air, I'm assuming, because it depends on what teams happen to get in there. Right now, it's definitely going to be on ESPN Deportes, but it will either be on ESPN, the major network, or ESPN2. That part is still up in the air. So we will basically, I'm assuming pretty much if the Rowdies get there, we'll be on major ESPN. But if it's going to end up being a couple of like MLS reserve teams for God knows what reason, if they happen to make it there, then I'm sure they'll probably bounce it to ESPN2 because that'll be the network's decision, I'm sure. But Sunday,
yeah,
November
20th. Looking at the calendar, so that's going to be a busy week because you're going to have Thursday is going to be Thanksgiving. Then you've got Black Friday. Then you've got a sleep-in Saturday. And then you've got Rowdies hosting whoever's fourth in the Central on Sunday.
I mean, this just sounds like a perfect excuse to travel. What better way to end 2021 than to travel to visit your family in the Tampa Bay area and then for Thanksgiving and then go to the Tampa Bay Rowdies championship game with your family on the Thanksgiving holiday? I can't think of a better way to spend that holiday.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I usually fantastic. Skip all the Black Friday stuff anyway, so I'll be more concentrated on that weekend to begin with. So, the one little interesting tidbit got thrown in there, but it's only going to matter if there's upsets in the first round, is that the semis and the final hostings are based on points. Regular season points, not your seeding. So if a two or a three seed gets through, you'll have to start looking at points from the regular season for determining who's going to host those games. But that's pretty standard to what they've done. The opening round has always been hosted by a higher seed, and then they go off the regular season results. So that'll be cool. It's good to know that after next week's games, we can already start looking at who we would be hosting in the playoffs. And when we inevitably claim the first seed in the Atlantic Conference.
I mean, it's written, it's got to be written in stone somewhere already.
I mean, I'm going to go out here and say this. I'm a little disappointed it's not the Gulf Conference. We're not on the Atlantic. Get the right body of water that the top team, if we're first, it should be have to be changed to the Gulf of Mexico Conference.
You could make an argument it should have been the Hurricane Conference, but I mean,
And then, we can take a page from the NHL and we can start having sponsors for the conference. And it could, like the top team in the conference could, like their main sponsor has to be it. So it'll be the Gulf Coast Conference presented by Seminole Hard Rock Casino and Hotel.
Perfect. Well, you're asking yourself, I'm sure, well, with the season about to start a week away, why haven't I gotten my tickets yet? Because I'm sure a lot of you have always looked forward to getting that little booklet of tickets for the year. Well, it did come out. There were some emails sent out today. There has been some emails and some communication that was out for the last few days in reality. The Tampa Bay Rowdies are going digital this year. There's not like a fancy app to go with it for the ticketing, as far as I'm aware, for the ticketing things. You do need to go to the My Wallet. You need to go to the Rowdies website, log into your account. That's how you access the tickets. They did also announce a Rowdy's app. But I am a lazy bum and I haven't downloaded it yet, which I'm ashamed of.
I got it. There's nothing fancy yet other than it does mean there is a partner that mentions the Mob and Casuals and Us Truly, which is nice.
Yes.
My new favorite section.
Yes.
But other than that, nothing major so far.
I hope that the new app, I hope they're able to do some things with it. It was something we talked about on the show a few weeks ago. I'm glad to see it being here and in place for the start of the season. So, and I hope that we can integrate it more. Like I said, I don't know if you can necessarily, I don't think, again, you've got the app. I don't have it on my phone yet.
Right.
I don't believe, from what I understand, the ticketing is something that's easily and readily available through the app.
So there is a ticketing section, and there it takes you. There's a link to a place called My Pro Venue, which I guess is who they're doing ticketing from.
Yeah.
If you have a season ticket account already, you have an account. It's your whatever your email account is. But if you log into the account, there's currently nothing in there.
But it takes you to the My Pro Venue site, right?
It loads it in the app.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was an external link or if it was okay. Either way, if you didn't check your emails, make sure you do that because that is how ticketing is going to be this year. We're not getting the normal paper books for that kind of thing. So make sure you are following.
That.
Say that again?
I didn't get an email mentioning that. I just went and double checked.
Oh, see, I got
poor Joe.
Yeah.
Poor Joe still trying to call me like 5 million times, but
oh gosh.
Hasn't been able to get a hold of him yet. Here's what they do say. There's a sign up in here, and this has obviously been in works for a while because the post is labeled as March 8th. Welcome to your one-stop shop for all things Rowdies. Here's just a few things you will find in the new app. Scores, schedules, rosters, standings, live game stats, match day info, videos, tickets, and apparel. There's nothing in here yet for apparel. Most of these other things don't exist yet because there's no like game videos or stats or standings or anything. I mean, it sounds like mostly that's going to be funneling in content from the website or from like USL Game Center in terms of like stats and things like that at some point. It's not quite there yet. The interactive stuff we had before, like the fan cam and stuff like that, that's not featured in here as of yet. There's some trivia. There's like a trivia poll in here. There's some things, some news releases about re-signings and stuff. Let me run the trivia question by you. See if you are a true Rowdies fan. Like if you get this wrong, you may not attend games this season.
I hate pop quizzes. I'm going to flunk.
Hey, this is what I do. I'm not even getting paid for this. I'm doing this one free out of the goodness of my heart. Rowdies trivia. Who led the team in goals last season? Was it Leo Fernandez, who made his first appearance in a preseason game last week as well against Naples? Was it Forrest Lasso, who we're all hoping will make a guest appearance on season 2 of Ted Lasso that's coming out in July? Maybe the Rowdies can send him over on loan or something. We're missing a chance to tie into this somehow. Was it El Capitan, Sebastian Guinzotti, or was it Lucky Kosana?
Since I have to participate and I can't play a waiver, wasn't it Guinzotti? Am I missing something here? It is Seba, right?
With 82% of the vote, the majority, overwhelming majority of fans, this, if you rated the fan base as a whole, this would be kind of a low B, but you know, B is still above average. The correct answer, as guessed by the majority of the fans, the overwhelming majority, Sebastian Guinzotti.
Okay, good.
13% were wrong with Leo Fernandez. 4% were wrong with Lucky Kosana. And 1%, I think he voted for himself, Forrest Lasso.
He probably did. But I'm glad I didn't completely fail on my face on front of a Lice Live audience because that's what I do. Well,
I have found the video section. Oh, now I see. Okay, I see the area now. I hadn't scrolled all the way through some of these before. Yeah, there's a section for roster, section for standing, section for team stores. Like the video with Ricky Hill talking about representation at the coaching levels, some highlights from games are in here as well, too. Some live interview stuff with Neil Collins. oh, look, there's Jake back when he was still working for us instead of like this is a post-game press conference, if I remember correctly. Okay. I see all this stuff now. Oh, yeah, there's game day. There's roster. Here's some social stuff. Recent tweets.
Well,
I want there to be something kind of interactive like the fan cam thing. That's the only thing I would say. Let's get added to this somehow, like some way for us to fans to contribute something. Maybe like fans want to contribute questions for a post game press conference or something. It could be a cool feature. You've got your schedule. You've got your ticketing stuff. Yeah, it's serviceable. There's room to grow.
Speaking of content and things coming on, of course, we are doing what we can to continue content beyond just the weekly radio podcast. I had a chance to sit down and have a pretty good long chat with former Rowdies goalkeeper, championship goalkeeper, Jeff Atanella. Him and I chatted for about, I don't know, give or take about a little over 40 minutes last week. And that is something that we are working on getting out to you guys in some form or fashion, whether written or and as an audio piece. I'm actually personally not convinced which one I would prefer based on the tone of the interview. So we may even make that kind of like a poll to see if what folks might be more interested in, you know, how they would prefer to get that interview to them. So that might be something you might want to look out for there in the future is basically that Jeff Atanella interview. But whether it's written or in audio form, I think we might leave that up to you guys. So that'll be something to look out for. Now, we would be remiss if we didn't continue and jump on the, you know, the Super League comments and, you know, all the fun stuff there. I mean, how do you not end the show in the same amount of span that, you know, frankly, the Super League ended and got killed off? I mean, it's like pretty much the same. It's the same thing, right? Like we mentioned it at the beginning and then it's dead by the end and it's on the. Yeah, I think that we represented that very well.
I will say there's two other things that I should have thrown in the notes and I didn't. I forgot to do it. Two other things we should probably mention. Number one, the foot golf charity event last weekend. Since we even though we talked about it, totally forgot to mention it in the last episode that we did. The now annual Ralph's Mob Skyway Casuals foot golf event in which Skyway Casuals brought the trophy home, raised about, I think they said over something like over $2,000 for Gold Together, which was awesome. Saw some pictures of the event. Jochen Graf was out there, won one of the trophies. I saw some pics of Cole Eicher playing. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff. Someone, I'm not going to name names, but there's pictures out there. Someone ended up in the water hazard as a result. It looked like a fun time. If I hadn't been stuck, I was in the bad place all weekend, and the bad place is in the middle of I-4 between this end of the state and the other. I would have loved to have gone out there, and actually I would have loved to play, but maybe next year.
If it wasn't for my year. Darn injury on my ankle that's been affecting me. I would have gone out there, but
yeah. So shout out to everybody who went out there and played, everybody who went out there and spectated, everybody who donated, the sponsors. They put these guys put on a great event. We gotta get to be part of it. Maybe we should do commentary for it.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, when you do commentary on foot golf, do you have to talk as if you're at a regular golf event?
I mean, and the ball does travel quite a bit of distance.
Ball and he's hit someone in the face. Look, I believe he's done it on purpose.
And here he is about ready to tee off. He comes up and the swing. Oh, and he has taken a tumble. He has clearly fallen flat on his butt. And obviously that is not good to form. It is maybe very much well affect him. For the rest of the day.
Porters have started a fire in the terraces, and who can hardly blame them?
Do we need to talk to somebody about the person swimming in the lake? Why is there somebody swimming in the lake?
That I believe that is an albino alligator currently out there in the lake. Ladies and gentlemen, please be cautious around the water hazard. He may bite.
speaking of albino alligators, one thing that we do want to have some fun with, and we'll probably, because obviously we're running out of time tonight on this episode, but one thing that we want to go ahead and have some fun with is we saw some teams in Europe making fun of the clubs that were trying to do their little breakaway Super League thing by referring to teams like Liverpool as the Merseyside Reds. First of all, I love it. Those are great jokes. It's essentially the joke, of course, being that's kind of like the Pro Evolution version of a famous soccer club if you didn't have the rights to it. So what we are going to be doing and having some fun with, and we hope that you can participate on social media and maybe have a nice build into next week's episode, but as the season is about to kick off officially, we are looking and we are going to be thinking of ideas for what would you give various USL teams a Pro Evolution copycat stand-in name for their clubs.
I'm tempted to just come up with something off the top of my head and do it, but given American soccer's tradition of having some truly unique and interesting names, I want to kind of come up with the Pro Evo but America style kind of name.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have some fun with this. I think that we're going to have, like I said, if you want to participate, by all means, give a shout on socials. We will definitely take
the name, hashtag it Pro Evo USL, and we'll go through some good ones and read them out on the next show.
Hashtag Pro Evo USL. I like it. Let's do that. I think that's the way to do it. We'll have a little fun conversation going into next week's episode. But that being said,
maybe considering the way this league started, it should be hashtag USL Pro Evo.
Well, I think that'll just about wrap it up for the night. We love you. I'm going to give my we love you to Jonathan Silva, who has been instrumental in getting that foot golf tournament set up and has done a very good job getting that organized, finding sponsors for each of the holes and getting the name out there so that way we could get more money raised for Go Gold and Gold Together. So yeah, we do appreciate him. We love what he does with Ralph's Mob Charities. We're looking forward to seeing what the rest of this year does hold for Ralph's Mob Charities, because I definitely am looking forward to participating in something, as I usually tend to try and do. So thank you very much. We love you, John.
I'm going to send mine out to Dan, who would have been here with us tonight, barring the effects of the second vaccine shot. It's worth it in the end, Dan. I've been licking windows for a week now, and it's just fantastic. I have truly missed it. I'm glad to get back to this. It's done wonders for my mental health. So give it a week or so, and you can get back to eating all the poutine and nachos that you have so desperately missed.
Just remember, resistance is futile. Thank you to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, and to the Shamrock Pub for being instrumental partners of our show. Please, if you are listening, share, subscribe, give a rating, and or a review. That definitely helps us get our name out there to other potential people interested in our kind of content. If you want to take your support a step further, Patreon is the best way to do it. Starting as little as $1 a month, you can become a monthly contributor towards the show. It helps us. It helps alleviate the pain of spending all the monthly fees and everything for keeping the show and the programs running and the subscriptions we need to do the servicing we do. If you can help, any little bit helps. But up to $10 a month is options, and we do try and get a shout out to those folks every now and then as an executive producer for our episodes. Thanks to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. And if you are tired of the same old uniforms and cookie cutter templates from Nike and Adidas, and you're looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult, or even pro team, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. We love you, everybody. We got one more game left for preseason before the real stuff starts. Can't wait to see everybody. With that, go Rowdies, and good night.
run here, the rowdies run there, they kick the ball around. The rowdies run here, the rowdies run there.